Lord, thank you for this message. God, you know how this blessed me this week. And God, I don't want to, Lord, have any blessing in my life that I don't get to share and with my family, my church family, God. And Lord, whatever you give to me, I want them to have as well, Lord. So would you come, Lord God, and encourage us and be what, Lord, help us to be what we need to be so we can receive from you, Lord God. Give us open hearts. God, speak. And when we leave here today, even though it's oppressively hot out there, God, the joy of the Lord's going to be with us all day, all week, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh yeah, one more thing. This is important, okay? And I don't mind this getting on the tape here, on the website. We have had somebody, and this is not, I don't want to get hyperbole and sensational or maudlin or anything like that. Somebody felt led of the Lord to make a beautiful custom-made baby blanket for baby Felix, okay? Yeah, and they didn't think they'd get it finished, but it is finished, and it's beautiful. I'll just show you a little bit of it, because look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. And there is a card in here, and this person wants, it's from Christchurch to baby Felix. It's our baby blanket for Felix, and you've all got to sign the card before you leave, okay? You got to sign the card. Heather, I just explained to them, somebody made a beautiful baby blanket for baby Felix. And I'll need some help. I know the card's in there somewhere, but it's right there, and make sure you sign that before you leave. Yeah. Hallelujah. Title's A Merry Heart. And this is my favorite picture of my niece, my granddaughter, Violet. She's seven, turned seven last week. And, A merry heart. I want to talk about, now, this is a merry heart in a biblical sense. I'm not talking about the merry heart that, hosted Entertainment Tonight for about 10 years or whatever, okay? Now, I want to show you something, okay? A merry heart. Let's go back to, because, you know, she's prettier than the other one. a merry heart. Merry, you know, heart, merry heart. Have you ever noticed when somebody wants to get your attention, they'll use this phrase, dead serious, okay? Isn't that something? You don't say dead frivolous. You don't say dead fun. You don't say dead smile. No, you say dead serious. Isn't it interesting how the word serious is often, and there's a skull and crossbones in the middle there, you can't see very well. But the word serious is so often coupled with death. Does that mean we're never serious? Well, of course you gotta be serious, but, you know, there's a biblical truth I want to bring out here. And when I've talked about this biblical truth, about how important it is for us to have a merry heart, okay, I get reminded of this scripture or people remind me of this scripture in Isaiah. This is the description of Jesus. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. And people, and this is true, Jesus was familiar, but in the midst of all this, in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the suffering that he did go through, you can't convince me for a second that he walked around like this all the time. You know? The kids call it face palming. You know what a face palm is? Oh, you know, a face palm. Okay? That was not Jesus. Because the dregs of society, the shepherds, the gangsters, the little short people, the prostitutes, they flocked to him like bees to honey, okay? He had life to him, okay? Now, look at this. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I've said this for decades. Kids are not attracted to people that are, you know? And I usually have some fun, but kids are attracted to people that can do this. Kids like this. Kids like, you know, they love that. You ever been on a plane or in a restaurant and in the next booth or in the next seat in front of you, there's a 10-month-old to 2-year-old kid and they want to play peekaboo, right? They don't even know you. They have no idea. But if you play peekaboo with them, oh, you got them. You know, you got their attention for another half hour. You know, that's what kids are like. And kids were attracted to Jesus. There's no question. epitome of the joy of the Lord. So here's the scripture that the whole message this morning is based on. Some of you know where I'm going with this. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Okay? In the King James, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Okay? A merry heart heals. Have you got that? A merry heart heals. This is more than just a biblical truth here. The medical profession knows this is true. That's why a lot of hospitals have clowns. Okay? And I'm not talking about the people that make you wait in line and mess up your forms. Okay? No, I'm talking about real physical clowns. Probably the highest profile case was, a lot of you probably saw the movie Patch Adams, okay? With Robin Williams. A great flick. Now, it's a real story, okay? Let me show you a picture of the real Patch Adams. There's Patch Adams, okay? This is what he actually looks like, okay? Now, Hollywood saw this as a beautiful story and they wanted to make a movie out of it. This movie weighed $200 million. Robin Williams made $21 million on this movie. Patch Adams, and it's not just his organization, his ministry, because Patch Adams is a Christian, okay? And Patch Adams would tell you, and this, that kind of didn't get filtered, this got filtered out of the movie, you know, that his inspiration was the goodness and the amazing grace of God, okay? And the kindness of God that motivated him to start this whole thing off, okay? $200 million made for this movie, $21 million made to Robin Williams, not one penny went to Patch Adams's organization, okay? Not one penny from the movie, okay? So you know this guy's is being motivated by more than just bucks, okay? He understands, and the medical profession knows how important it is. A merry heart does even more than a good doctor could do, okay? And I was thinking about doctors, and I remember all these one-liners. I know a surgeon whose business card says, "May I cut in?" Yeah, do you like that? Okay, you're allowed to laugh in church. I couldn't afford the surgery, so my doctor touched up the x-rays. Okay? When I go to the doctor, he puts his hand on my wallet and says, "Cough." A specialist is a doctor whose patients could only be sick during regular office hours. And when I got my bill, I understood why my surgeon wore a mask. Okay? They don't mind laughing at themselves. They don't mind humor because they know it's got a healing factor to it. Okay? Humor builds bridges. Have you noticed that? Humor can build bridges. And it can build relationships if it's used skillfully, okay? Now, it can be used to really hurt people, too, okay? But it disarms people. It's a wonderful opening line. It loosens people up. Remember last week? It comforts people. And we went out of here praying and trusting God that we would be experts in comforting people, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the God of all comfort. And this is a way we can bring comfort to people. It can warm people to you. One of the most effective weapons. Listen, this is serious stuff now. Humor and a merry heart is one of the most effective weapons we have in furthering the kingdom of God. It is. It is. And you need to see it for the value that it is. We are, like we talked last week, we are traffickers in comfort. We can become, and I don't think I used this line, but I wanted to last week, we can become somebody's miracle. Do you know that? We're always asking for miracles, and we believe for miracles, and that's good, and we need them. Without them, we're just, you know, we're really nothing, okay? Imagine somebody saying about you, "I don't know where I would have been without so-and-so. I don't know what I would have done if it wasn't for so-and-so." That's an example of you being somebody's miracle. Do you know that that's God's will for your life? That's God's will for any blessing that comes our way. It's nice to be blessed. It's nice to be known of God, by God. It's nice to traffic in the goodness of God. I want to give you a formula for multiplying that joy, multiplying that blessing from God when it gets dispersed. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. A lot of you know you've done these things, these wonderful, kind things, these generous things, and you've blown people away. You know what it's like, eh? You walk away going, "It feels so good." You can't get that same feeling by being blessed that way. There's a joy in that that can't be experienced any other way. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, man, I'm asking you, I'm daring you. You need to step in this. Why? Because Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? That's a powerful verse. I still haven't got a handle on that. That is a powerful, powerful verse. I've been trying to get my head around this one for decades. And it's a truth, and I think some of the most awesome truths in the Bible are things that, that we're probably never going to get our head around. I just have to accept them. Yeah, okay. Okay. The joy of the Lord is, it doesn't say my strength. Now we say that of ourselves. God proclaimed this to Nehemiah when they were going to walk in obedience to him. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. In other words, you're going to be able to pull this off if you can have a merry heart. You are going to be a warrior. You are going to be successful. You are going to do damage to the enemy. You are going to be flowing in the power of the kingdom of God if you have a merry heart. Well, you already got the approval of God. You already have the joy of the Lord. Now traffic in it. Flow in it. Make it as though there's evidence that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because we can make choices, you know. We can deny truth. You can deny truth. And you will always have a good argument to deny truth. Okay? Because the devil's got better arguments to deny truth than you do. And you think he wants to share them with you? Of course he does. That's the one area where the devil's really generous. Always willing to share misinformation that perverts the word of God. Always, always. Got to get a handle on this. Joy, strength. So you know what the opposite is? Gloom, weakness. You got that? Joy is coupled with strength in the Bible. Gloom is, I don't think we're stretching scripture or misinterpreting scripture at all to suggest that gloom is coupled with weakness. Without joy, listen, without joy, you will be more susceptible to temptation. Without joy, you will be more vulnerable to spiritual attack. Without joy, you will be more easily deceived. Joy is not just, oh, you want us to be happy, happy, happy. No, this is serious stuff, okay? Without joy, you are cannon fodder, okay? You are a sitting duck for spiritual attack without joy. This is something we have to get a hold on. And we have to infuse it into other people. We have to traffic in this. It has a protective quality to it. It's powerful. It changes people's lives. And I don't think we've given it enough attention. That's why the Word of God says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as lions. They're not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of anything. Joy is not just a feeling that depends on circumstance. It's number one, and I don't have a slide for this. I should have put one in. Joy, first of all, is a necessity. If you're following Christ, joy is not just a feeling that depends on circumstance. First of all, number one, it's a necessity. Number two, it's a source of strength. And number three, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of strength. You can't bear much eternal fruit without joy. In fact, I would suggest you probably can't bear any. Not going to happen. There is no greater joy producer, because we'd all want more joy in our life, right? There's no greater joy producer than imitating God, than imitating Christ. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He has our joy in us. So when I'm imitating, now what does God do? God, sure he tests. Sure he's our Father. But why does he do that? Because he wants to bring greater joy. He wants to bring comfort to others. He will even suffer and die a horrible, torturous death so that he can, what does Hebrews say? The Hebrews said, except for the joy awaiting him, he endured the horrors of the cross. It was because of joy. He was motivated by joy to go and die a horrible death for us. Okay? Joy is powerful stuff. God is all about comfort. He's all about multiplying and spreading joy. Okay? You don't feel joyful? How much joy do you bring to others? Let me ask that question again. Do you not feel joyful? How much joy do you bring to others? Because if you don't have much joy, joy is not going to come by you getting your way. Joy is not going to become by you getting your desires fulfilled. Joy starts by multiplying it in others first. Sends a powerful message to heaven. In fact, I think the only people that could really handle joy of the Lord are the ones that are multiplying it. Okay? If there's a lack of joy in your life, how much joy are you bringing to others? Look at this signature verse here that we use for so many other principles of following Christ, okay? This is foundational, but I want to put it in the context we're talking about. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Is God a killjoy here? Of course not. This is a formula right here. This is a formula for the highest and purest and most powerful incorruptible form of joy. He knows more than anybody, because he created us, that joy is locked up in me getting out of my pity party and realizing that I can have joy in my life by bringing it to other people. How important are you to other people? Okay? How much do people depend on you? Because that is an outlet for the joy of the Lord. How much joy do we bring to others? "Well, that's not going to be fun for me." Exactly! It's not about you, okay? What do you think it means to deny yourself? "Well, no, I want the joy for me." What do you think it means to, "No, I'm going to save my life"? "No, no, I will not have joy." No, it doesn't work that way. We spend ourselves in bringing joy to others. We spend ourselves in making other people comfortable. And it unlocks a form of joy that's possible people in this room have never experienced. Okay? It's deeper, it's powerful, it's unshakable. It changes cities and neighborhoods and workplaces. It's the joy of the Lord, not just the joy that comes because I got my way. No! It's the joy that comes when I follow His way, even though I'm not getting anything in return. Yeah, that's peace that passes understanding. You're not supposed to have peace when you're not getting anything out of it. Yeah, then you know it's God's. Okay? You're going to save your life. We save our life when we lose it in the context of joy. Okay? I hear, Usufu's from Niger, and I've had friends who are missionaries in Africa, like, for decades. I've heard this story at least a dozen times. Heather, you have too, okay? They go into remote places, you know, where kids have nothing, you know? All they got, they don't even have shoes. They got maybe one thing of clothes. They live in a mud hut, but when they get together for church, oh my goodness! I mean, we come in here, we think we're pushing it if we go past an hour, and I've no designs on, we gotta have longer church. No! In fact, I've had people from African countries come to my church service and say, "We're over an hour and 15 minutes," and they think the devil's there. What's wrong with you people? We have a church for 3-4 hours. You know why? They're having fun! They're bouncing up and down, they're dancing, they sing forever, you know, they can't get enough of the Word of God, they're bounding in joy and generous. Oh my goodness, they're generous. They have nothing to give, but if they did, they'd give it to you. You know? That's the core of it. I've heard reports like that from my missionary buddies. I've heard at least a dozen like that. I hear them get up and say that all the time. Okay? I experienced a little bit of it. I want to tell you a story. Okay? This is, I found this slide on the internet. I was so thrilled when I found it. Because this is the main kids auditorium for Metro Assembly of God in Brooklyn, New York. Okay? This used to be an old pretzel factory. Okay? And they renovated. I mean, you can't imagine how bad the neighborhood was there when they got there. How many are familiar with Billy Joel? Okay? Billy Joel's got a song, "You may be right, I may be crazy, but it might bet you be a lunatic you're looking for it." Okay? And then he goes through the verses describing of how crazy he is. And he says this in one of the lines, "I walked the Bedford Stuy alone." You know where that comes from? This is the neighborhood that Metro Assembly of God is. It's in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area of Brooklyn, okay? You cannot, taxi drivers back then in the 80s, it's better now. But back in the 80s when I was there, if you asked a cab driver in Manhattan to take you to Bedford-Stuyvesant, they wouldn't take you there. There's no way. It looked like an apocalyptic war zone, blown out cars everywhere, and it was bad, really, really bad. And they took this old pretzel family factory, and they turned it into a church, okay? And when I was there, I would lead teams of young people to go down there because they had no money, poor as nothing. Their whole operation was funded by groups like us going in and doing construction and doing menial tasks and just hanging around these people. And it's been going for, it's still going. But back then, even back then in the mid-80s, they were busing in 25,000 kids from Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, and Brooklyn, okay? Buses were all, I mean, their buses were held together with chicken wire and duct tape, okay? But they got the job done, okay? Well, I got to stay there for Sunday morning. I go in this auditorium. You see it's quite packed here. In this auditorium, now this auditorium is only about a third bigger than our gym here. About a third bigger, okay? In that auditorium, and I got the numbers count, they had the whole place was packed to the rafters. They were almost, you could almost say they were hanging from the, even more packed than you see here, with kids between the ages of 6 and 12. And the riser was there. Up on the riser was a set of drums. Well, that Sunday morning, by the sovereignty of God, the drummer didn't show up. Nobody knew where he was. John plays the drums. Okay? Now, I remember when chat rooms first came out, they used to have news groups. I remember going on a drummer's news group and they had a story, a question up there. What's the most incredible gig you drummed at? And I wrote a story for them about this, okay? I get up there and they let me, because I've been working with them all week and made friends with these guys, and these guys are the best musicians I've ever played with, because this is New York. This is Brooklyn, okay? And you can't get me this way. There's nothing going to rock me on this one. So, by far and away, the most amazing musicians I've ever played with, okay? Now, the drum riser is up there, okay? And there's 1,300 kids in this room here, ages 6 to 12. And so, and like, it's about an hour of absolute mayhem, okay? Like the choruses that they sing. And then they've got all these games that they do, like a game show with contests where the kids win bags of chips and stuff like this. And we're playing the background music. Now these kids are all 6 to 12. This is the 80s. And the band, the music that they're playing in the background, nobody knows the tunes. We're playing instrumental versions of Led Zeppelin, of like the Rolling Stones, Boston, Deep Purple. And I know all these tunes really, really well, okay? And these kids are so into it, and Jules is here. If you see Jules drumming, he's got these bounded bamboo sticks, and they're a lot quieter than real sticks. He can't play with real sticks there, okay? Because he would blow you away. They give me sticks that are about twice as thick as I've ever used before. They're like tree trunks, okay? And we're playing this background music, and I know all the tunes. I don't have to learn any of them. And I am beating the daylights out of those things louder than I've ever drummed in my life, okay? And I can hardly hear myself because these kids are so loud, so raucous, so off the charts. They are having a blast. And when it comes to singing Sunday school songs, oh my goodness, man, you can almost feel like they're blown away. So when this service is done, okay, when this service is done, and like we're walking off like this, and all my kids from, there's about 25 young people and young adults, they're all at the back, of course, they're just loving this, okay? It's time for all these kids to go home. They do the Sunday school in 5 shifts, by the way, okay? You don't handle 25,000 people, and this is only one auditorium. They have other auditoriums, like it's just crazy operation. So we thought, you know what? This can't be real. There's no way. This is just a circus, okay? While the kids are loading up the buses, we're gonna call a couple of these kids aside and see where they're at, okay? Little 9-year-old black girl, okay? Did you like Sunday school today? Yeah. Do you know Jesus? I sure do. Don't you know Jesus? You were in the service. Well, how would I accept Jesus? Well, you gotta ask him into your heart. Don't you listen to she's lecturing us, okay? And the next one comes in, and they're all the same. These are not little kids that show up for Sunday school because they're good little church kids. These kids are filled with the joy of the Lord, the power of God, like you wouldn't believe, okay? And I would suggest that one of the reasons why they're so turned on is they take joy seriously, okay? I have never been, now I love you guys, you know that, but I have never been with a bunch of people who were more fun than the staff at Metro Assembly of God, okay? Some of these kids, they're born in Brooklyn, and they never leave a 10-block radius of where they're born for their entire life. I'd say about 70, because we told them, yeah, we're going into Manhattan to see the sights. 70-80% of the kids there, and I'm pulling the stats out of the air, but it's just based on what I talked to, okay? It seemed as though most of the kids that I met had never been to Manhattan. It's a 20-minute subway ride. They'd never been there because they're so poor. They got nothing. But it's nonstop laughter. It's nonstop fooling around. I remember the band Mike Clark. This guy, oh man, this guy, these guys' musicians were crazy, you know? And like their services are raucous. But boy, I'll tell you, they know God. I remember one of the funniest things I saw. This guy's got this rubber bat. I says, what do you got? It's a rubber bat. Really? Yeah, he's deaf. Watch. He throws him up against the wall. So he can't hear, so he just doesn't do too well. I know it doesn't sound funny to you, but I cracked up for about a half hour over that, okay? Fun. Okay? 98% of them, and I know that fact's true, 98% of them come from single parent or broken parent homes, where there's either a single parent or no parents. 98%. Okay? Horrible situations. Joy of the Lord, just, you know. And the workers, they visit, and they still do it today, visit every kid that's on their roll. So they had 25,000 kids that come out every Sunday, but they have about 30,000 on their roll. And every kid gets visited every Saturday. And we went with them on visits, and they walk in. I asked Bill Wilson, the director, did any of you guys carry weapons? He says, what, are you nuts? He says, you carry a weapon, you're dead. If you don't carry a weapon, the worst that's going to happen, you're going to get maybe cut up and get some stitches. That's all. That's all. You carry a weapon, then it's either him or you. So all these people, they go in the joy of the Lord, and they don't need weapons because they set foot in the neighborhood, and the kids find out. And here's what visitation looks like. The person is walking through the projects because, like, one person is going to visit maybe 200 or 300 kids, but that's only 2 or 3 blocks. That's the only time they got to go. And they go in there, and they're not going door to door. They got about 8, 9 kids chasing them to every door. Every door. Okay? Joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. Are you lacking in joy? How much joy are you putting in other people's lives? How joyful? Stop indulging in self. Self, get joy. Did you hear what I said? Stop indulging in self, get joy. This joy comes from making somebody's life joyful. 4 closing proverbs here, okay? Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding, okay? Pay attention, gain understanding. Another translation says, get wisdom. This is wisdom here. This is wisdom, okay? Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Have you got that? Though it cost everything within me says, no, I don't want to do this. No, it's my needs for, no. Though it costs you everything, get joy, get understanding. The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Joy is not coming, okay? Joy is not coming in with your ship, okay? It is unleashed. This sounds so crazy. It's got to be spirit-led. If this isn't spirit-led, you're going to look at me like that RCA dog on the cover of their albums. The, huh? You know? Joy is not coming in with your ship. It is unleashed. Listen, it is unleashed in self-denial. Okay? You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Okay? But he may just say, nah, you're not getting the Holy Spirit yet. I want you to go bathe in the dirty river first. You know, like Naaman. No, you're not getting the Holy Spirit yet. You got to step out of the boat first. No, I'm not giving the Holy Spirit yet. I'm going to spit in your eye and spread muck in there first. Okay? No, you're not getting the Holy Spirit yet. You got to break through the crowd. You got to crawl on your hands and knees, and you're going to have to suffer. You might have suffered 12 years, but you know, she still had to touch his garment. Okay? Joy is not coming in with your ship. It's unleashed in self-denial. It comes with losing your agenda, losing your will in reckless abandon to Christ. That's not a good word, reckless. Ooh, we're not supposed to be reckless, you know. Hey, I know we got to be filled with wisdom. I know we got to have discernment. But that's why you got a church family, you know? We kind of keep tabs on one another. But this thing of spreading joy, it requires a recklessness, okay? And you're the only one that can do it. Nobody can do it for you. You're the only one that can do it. Close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes. Father, again, I ask, what is of me, Lord God? Let it be water off a duck's back. But Lord, there's something to the power of joy, God, that I feel really incapable of communicating. And God, I've done my best this morning, so please, you got to take it the rest of the way, God. Lord, we reject condemnation from the evil one that puts us down and gives us no answers. But God, we embrace conviction that makes us aware of a need and shows us God, shows us, Lord, what to do about it. God, we embrace you. We embrace your word. Now do not let us miss out. Do not let us, Lord, like your word says in Hebrews 6:12, do not let us be lazy, Lord, in applying your word and thus being robbed of the inheritance that is rightfully ours. And God, our inheritance in you is joy. Lord, do not let us be robbed of it by thinking any other way is going to be the right way, God. You are not just the source of life, you are life. You are the resurrection and the life, God. God, multiply it as we make more room for you, God. God, I pray, God, that everyone in this room, Lord God, let it be said of us, God, when we walk into the room, it lights up. I pray, God, that there would be people, Lord God, who are yearning to be with us because we know they know they can get joy from us. They can be comforted by us, Lord God. That is your, God, that's your purpose for your followers, Lord God. Make it so in our lives. Nobody looking around, okay? I'm not going to prolong this. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, it all starts with that, okay? If there's somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ, you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to put your hand up real quick, and I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to center you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I do want to pray with you, and I want to make sure that's right with between you and God before we depart today. And I'll take only about 5 or 10 seconds. I know most of you here this morning, but I don't know everybody. And that's priority in this whole family here. We know Jesus, but then we don't leave it there. We're not satisfied with just being Christians saved by grace. He's got too much purpose. He's got too much of a wonderful, adventurous life for us just to have enough just to get through the pearly gates type thing, you know. You ready for a corny hymn? I don't know if I've ever heard anybody else. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody else singing this. You know where I learned this? I learned this in Singapore. And I've been thinking a lot about Singapore because when we walked out of the school, when we got here, we walked in and thank you, Jesus. I mean, those of you that were setting up with me, you know many times I was praising the Lord, how cool it was in here. Oh my God, wonderful. But when I walked back outside, you know what it reminded me of? When I landed in Singapore in 1983, I'd never experienced heat like that in my life. I walked out of the plane, it was... And you just feel like this after, okay? Well, I learned this in Singapore, in a crowded, like you see the way they meet there. I mean, 50 people in a room where we'd think 12 was crowded, okay? And a little tiny keyboard, you know, that's got its own sound system and they can barely fit the overhead projector back then, you know, and I thought they came up this. I thought it was corny back then, but it's the word of God, okay? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine is a merry heart. A broken spirit dries up the bones, but a merry heart is the joy of the Lord. Anybody heard that before? Okay. Well, Heather has, because you heard me sing it at home. Okay. Where'd you hear it, Dave? Edmonton. The center of the universe. Yeah, okay. That's enough. Go bless each other. If you want to keep singing the song, that's fine, you know. Go spread the joy around. Be somebody's comfort. Be somebody's joy. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. Be good while I'm away. Okay? I want the church to double while I'm away, and I want Christine and Dave to do such a good job that you don't want to hear me speak again. You want to hear more of them, and you're okay? Wow. Finally, we got somebody who knows how to preach.